Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and friends. This show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now.
Market Views. Good morning. Mike, I also your host for Market Views. I guess my regular friend, Mr. Peter Alaidis. Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How about you? How are things in sunny Greece?
We have been reopening for the last 3 weeks, and from my own observation here, I can tell you that reopening and getting back to where things were before the closing are two different things. You and I were talking before we got on the air. We were discussing how our own biases can sometimes cloud our judgment with regards to the markets. On the other hand, the marvelous software we have come up with helps investors stay objective and steer clear of their own personal biases. I'm curious to hear your thoughts and what the cycle projection software is telling us to expect going forward.
Yeah, you're right, Ike. And one of the great mistakes that I may have made throughout my career was the fact that I allowed my judgment to be clouded by things that probably should not have taken priority over my cycle projection software. And that's not to imply, and I'm not trying to suggest, that the software is correct 100% of the time. But it's correct at such a high degree of accuracy. I would say on the low side, 65%, and on the high side, depending on what you're analyzing and the time period involved, as high as 80, 85% of the time, which, as you know, for the stock market is remarkable. The mistakes that I've made in my career have been ignoring the cycle projections. You know, I've been doing cycle projections. Sometimes I forget how long I've been doing them. But, I mean, I remember doing them back in the early 80s. I remember talking about a projection I had in 1982 at the low in August. And I had written a market letter within days of the market bottom there explaining that we had come down to a level projection-wise that we had been aiming at for quite a while. And that at that point, it was reasonable to think that we had seen a very important bottom in the market. You know, back in those days, I had a reputation, I think, for being a perma bull, because I kept telling people from 1980 through 81 and 82 that we were scheduled for one of the great bull markets in history. And, of course, everyone at that time was poo-pooing that thought. And sure enough, we had certainly one of the great bull markets in history from 1982 on. As a matter of fact, you can argue that because we're so close to all-time highs, that we're still in that bull market that began way back then. We're talking about almost 40 years now, Ike. We have not had an undervalued market, an undervalued stock market, for almost 40 years. It's been a remarkable run.
I was talking to another friend. I asked them if the current chart pattern reminds him of another similar pattern that he has observed in his 50 years in this business. And he said, well, the closest one is what happened after 1987. And I'm curious, how about your recollection of how the market reacted after 1987? We had the crash, but the market never really retested that 87 low.
Well, now be careful now, because on the crash, the final low in the Dow came in December. It went a little bit lower than the crash low, as I recall. But the rest of the market, you're absolutely right. It never did test those crash lows. But the Dow came down, I think, to test those lows and go a tiny bit lower. So we did get some kind of divergence there. But no, as a general rule, you're absolutely right. We never came down and tested those lows. And of course, everyone thought that we were going to do that, and we couldn't go up until we did.
What is the software telling us going forward? I saw the update that you posted yesterday, and I was absolutely fascinated.
Well, we're in a position now, Ike, and again, I will say two things about this. First of all, as I said earlier, when there are conflicts between a lot of the other things I look at and between the cycle price projections, I have learned to always give precedence to the cycle projections. That doesn't mean they're always going to be right over the other indicators, but it means that that is one of the reasons for that, one of the big reasons for that, is it's something that very, very few other people do. It is not a common technical tool. And if you have a tool that's so effective that very few other people are using, then you have yourself a diamond in the rough. You really do. Because you have something that has been reliable not only over the years, but over the decades, and that very few people are paying attention to. So with that in mind, the projections are telling us now that we're going back towards the area, if not above the area of all-time highs. We had what I call a nominal 10-week projection up to that area, and then we went sideways for several weeks, and now this week, we have confirmed a nominal 20-week projection into that same general area, up around, as high as 3,600, but certainly back to the area of the all-time highs on February 19th. Now, if we take that into consideration, along with the fact that almost all of us know what's going on, the economy of the world, not our country or this country or that country, the economy of the world has been turned off for a couple of months now. You would think that that would have an utter disastrous effect on the stock market. And indeed, we had ourselves one hell of a decline. And in fact, a record decline in a record period of time from an all-time high. But boy, has that been erased pretty quickly, especially by the NASDAQ, which kind of winked its eye and said, okay, we got that over with. Now let's get back to the business of making new highs every few weeks. And so the NASDAQ spit in everyone's eye, turned around, and now is approaching its all-time highs again. But look at the economic background and you say, is this possible? Can this really be happening? And if it is, what is it telling us? Is it telling us that we've seen some kind of momentous market bottom here and that we're going to be going up for the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years in another great bull market? Well, let me emphasize, I think that the latter that I just spoke about is beyond my total comprehension. One of probably the most reliable valuation indicators is, I believe, the indicators that John Hussman from Hussman Econometrics uses. And he made it very clear in February when we were at all-time highs that this was, in many regards, in several regards, the most overvalued market in history. So what's happened since then? Well, we had a dramatic decline, and now we've rallied back. I think the NASDAQ is within a few percentage points, and the S&P probably within 10% of its all-time highs. And in the meantime, the world's economy has collapsed. We know it's collapsed. We can see the economic data. And so if that's the case, if the economic data has collapsed and the market's back towards what was in February the most overvalued market in history, what in the world do we call this? And that's where we stand today, Ike.
And one of the lessons that I have learned, we can intellectualize and over-intellectualize the reason why the market does this or does that, or why it doesn't do this and doesn't do that. In the end, the market does not really care, at least in the short term, about our own personal intellectual wanderings and philosophical suppositions. And that is what I find so remarkable about the software. The nominal cycle projections have been accurate, although the fundamental background does not justify the price action. There were several weeks ago when you pointed out that the NDX was pointing to new highs. At the time, it sounded crazy, but looking at the chart now, it looks very possible.
I know, it's amazing. That's what I say about, no matter what my brain tells me, look at the cycle projections. That's where the unbiased truth lies. And again, when I say unbiased truth, I don't mean to imply that it's a right 100% of the time. But it really describes how the market works. And when it goes through that process, it's something you have to pay attention to and you have to respect. And that's what I'm doing right now. I mean, I'm looking at projections on the S&P, and we already have nominal 10-week projections up to like 3350 or so. And this week we're going to be getting nominal 20-week projections up to around the same level, if not a little higher. Now, here's the good thing about the projections, Ike, is can they be wrong? Yes, of course they can. Anything, any market perception can be wrong. But when they are wrong, you know pretty quickly, because there are only two things that can happen with a projection. It can either be met or invalidated. If it's not going to be met, then it will eventually be invalidated. And right now on the S&P, I can give you a level of around 2,800. If we have in the next week or two, between now and let's say 2 weeks from now, if you have a midpoint on a weekly bar chart that's below 2,800, and remember now I'm talking about a midpoint, so if the high for the week is 3,000, you would have to have a low below 2,600 to get a midpoint below 2,800. But if we do get a midpoint below 2,800 in the next couple of weeks, that would invalidate the upside projection. And so that's, for us, the really satisfying part about the projections is that you don't sit around and wait for them as the market moves against you and keeps moving against you, because when that happens, or if that happens, you invalidate those projections. You say, okay, we have the projection, we no longer have it. So those are the things we'll be looking for over the next few weeks. I'm expecting this market, based on the projections, to head towards the all-time highs in the S&P 500, which, as you know, I think the all-time closing high was 3386.15. We're now about 400 points away from that, so a little over 10% away. It's a good distance above us, but projections are saying that's where we're going, buddy. Get ready.
Peter, anything else you'd like to add?
I guess you know that I like to talk about sentiment once in a while, Ike, and we're getting different kinds of sentiment readings. Investors' intelligence is really close. In fact, I think for a week or two back over the last few weeks, they got above 50% bulls, which tends to be a potential danger area for the market. But now they've settled in back below the 50% bulls on investors' intelligence. The one that's really fascinating is the AAII, the American Association of Individual Investors. And that one is, I think the bullish reading is like 29% this last week. That was yesterday's reading, and they come out on Thursdays. And it was only 29%, which would, with this kind of rally that we've seen, you would think that more and more people would be getting bullish. And that doesn't seem to be the case with the AAII numbers. So there are some contradictions there that don't jibe with each other. I don't know what you're hearing from the people you talk to, Ike, but I'm thinking that people are leaning towards the bearish side here, either bearish to neutral, and saying, oh yeah, we could go a little higher, but you know, that's all we're going to do. Because they're completely colored and influenced by the fundamental news that they see and hear. And it's pretty hard to ignore it. So people tie that in with a market opinion, and it's pretty tough to say, oh, I'll tell you, Ike, this is the greatest buying situation I've ever seen in my life, and I think we're going straight up, and the S&P should be at 4,000, the Dow at 40,000, and yeah, you're not hearing that kind of talk. I mean, maybe we'll hear it within the next few weeks, if the market continues to improve or approaches these projections, and if the economic data behind it starts to improve a little bit too, that'll give people a little more hope. But this has really been, for me, one of the more fascinating markets that I've ever analyzed. I mean, it really is interesting what's happening here. But let's leave it at this. I have higher projections that means I'm looking for higher prices. I'm ready to withdraw that opinion once the cycles invalidate that those upside objectives, if they do. But right now, my cycle projections are saying we're going higher, and that's what I respect, Ike.
Peter, thank you. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure, Ike.
And you too, in America.